ಸಾರಂಗೋನ್ಯನ್ನ ಸೇವತೆ ತ್ವದಂಗ್ರಿಮೂಲಮಾಸಾದ್ಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಕಿಂ ಕಿಂ ವೃಣೀಮಹಿ ಪಾರಿಜಾತೆ ಅಂಜಸಾ ಲಬ್ಧೆ ಸಾರಂಗೋನ್ಯನ್ನ ಸೇವತೆ ತ್ವದಂಗ್ರಿಮೂಲಮಾಸಾದ್ಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಕಿಂ ಕಿಂ ವೃಣೀಮಹಿ. ತ್ವದಂಗ್ರಿಮೂಲಮಾಸಾದ್ಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಕಿಂ ಕಿಂ ವೃಣೀಮಹಿ. ಲೇಡೀಸ್ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್. ಪಾರಿಜಾತೆ ಅಂಜಸಾ ಲಬ್ಧೆ ಸಾರಂಗೋನ್ಯನ್ನ ಸೇವತೆ ತ್ವದಂಗ್ರಿಮೂಲಮಾಸಾದ್ಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಕಿಂ ಕಿಂ ವೃಣೀಮಹಿ. ಸಾರಂಗೋನ್ಯನ್ನ ಸೇವತೆ ತ್ವದಂಗ್ರಿಮೂಲಮಾಸಾದ್ಯ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಕಿಂ ಕಿಂ ವೃಣೀಮಹಿ. ಪಾರಿಜಾತೆ, the celestial tree known as Parijata, Anjasa, completely, Labdhe, having achieved, Sarangah, a bee, Anyat, other, Nasevate, does not resort to, Twadangri, your lotus feet, Moolam, the root of everything, asadya, having approached, sakshat, directly, kim, what, vranimahi, may we ask. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dear Lord, when the bee approaches the celestial tree called the Parijata, it certainly does not leave the tree because there is no need for such action. Similarly, when we have approached your lotus feet and taken shelter of them, what further benediction may we ask of you? Purport. When a devotee is actually engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, his engagement in itself is so perfect that there is no need to ask for further benediction. When a bee approaches the Parijata tree, it gets unlimited supplies of honey. There is no need to go to another tree. If one is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is unlimited transcendental bliss, and as such, there is no need to ask for further benediction. The Parijata tree is not commonly found within this material world. The Parijata tree is also known as Kalpavriksha, or the wish-fulfilling tree. One can get anything he desires from such a tree. In the material world, one can get oranges from an orange tree or mangoes from a mango tree, but there is no possibility of getting oranges from a mango tree or vice versa. However, one can get whatever he wants from the Parijata tree, oranges, mangoes, bananas, and so on. This tree is found in the spiritual world. Chintamani prakara sadma sukalpa vriksha laksha vrateshu. The spiritual world, Chintamani dhama, is surrounded by these kalpa vriksha trees, but the Parijata tree is also found in the kingdom of Indra, that is, on Indra's heavenly planet. This Parijata tree was brought by Krishna to please Satyabhama, one of his queens, and this tree was implanted in the Dwaraka mansions constructed for the queens. The lotus feet of the Lord are exactly like the Parijata trees or wish-fulfilling trees, and the devotees are like bumblebees. They're always attracted by the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobheshtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpataravyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I have a small request to the devotees to please be on time for Bhagavatam class. It just seems that 7:30, the temple room is empty, and then one by one, they trickle in exactly at the time when the reading of the verses is over, reading of the purport is over, and then the lecture starts, and then we have full house. So, here the Prachetas are talking about how Krishna's lotus feet can be, or are, not can be, are the all-satisfying. That one who has attained Krishna's service doesn't need anything else. And the analogy they're using is that of a bee that approaches the Parijata tree. The nectar from the Parijata tree is so sweet that the bee does not want to go to any other flower. It can be fully satisfied and nourished just by being or by taking honey from the Parijata tree. Saranga anyan anyat na sevate. It does not serve or does not go to any other tree for nectar. What they are saying, first of all, is, or what Prabhupada's telling us, is the service in of itself is perfect for completely satisfying a person. Being out there in the material world without Krishna, that was yesterday's message, that we have turned away and we are searching for Krishna, knowingly or unknowingly. And for those who are searching for Krishna unknowingly, they're looking for that constitutional sense of being happy or satisfied in things of this material world or in relationships that are material. Now, materially, happiness cannot be the definition of material happiness is that it cannot satisfy. If I eat a gulab jamun expecting something bitter, I will be disappointed. I cannot get certain things from certain objects. Like that, primordially, material energy is not designed for rasa. It's not designed for happiness. It is not designed for satisfaction. It is only designed for tricking. It's called illusion. It is very intentionally developed for the sake of confusing the living entity. That's it. There's no other purpose for it. And within that confusion, because one cannot get rasa from it, it is dukkhalayam. It is built, it is designed for dissatisfying the living entity so that the living entity will turn his or her attention to substance, the real person, Krishna. Now for those who have come in contact with devotees of Krishna, the most satisfying element is some service to Krishna. Because through service, intimacy is developed. Whoever we serve, we develop an intimacy with that person. Right? First canto, first chapter, text number 10, in that verse, Prabhupada says that the most congenial form of intimacy is in a relationship of served and service or servant. This is the most congenial form of intimacy. For me, even in the worldly context, material context, when this person is serving someone, they become very intimate with them. In fact, it is in history we know that for even very powerful persons, they may not reveal their secrets to their spouses, but their chauffeurs and personal servants, they know more what's happening in the lives of these persons. They somehow can trust them. It's because the service is very intimate. So having ever received some service to do for Krishna, we should know that is a call from Krishna for intimacy. It is Krishna's way of saying, come, become very intimate with me. So when an opportunity is provided and we don't take it, then that's the most unfortunate condition. Having come so far, when Krishna is extending his intimate hand, to not take up that any service for him is unfortunate, pitiable. Another pitiable condition is to have this service but hanker for that service, which is the common malady. They have such nice service. Look at her. She's the Sankirtan leader. Look at me. I'm sitting in my office. Whatever. Look at that Prabhu. Look at what nice service. Why should he go out for preaching? Why am I here? Why is this service? Why not this? Here the message is that within the service that we have, that is perfect. All of the necessary intimacy that we can experience, all of the necessary satisfaction that we can experience is within the service that we have been given. It's possible. Parijate anjasa labdhe saranga anyat na sevate. So hankering for, I want that flower, I want honey from that flower, is not necessary. The word saranga, sara means essence. Saranga means one who draws essence. The bee is considered to be very expert at it. So the lesson from the bee is, whatever service we have, draw the essence of Krishna consciousness from it without hankering for another flower, another service, another type of nectar. Oh, he is drawing nectar of deity worship. I'm only drawing the nectar of whatever, pot washing, mopping, something. It's not this. Nectar is nectar. If the audience were different, the message would be a little different. The message is that Krishna is the most satisfying. You don't have to go to other demigods. We don't have to have other masters to satisfy us. For a chaste wife, one husband is sufficient. You don't have to have many husbands. Because in Krishna is the Natha, we don't need other masters. We don't need to go to this demigod for this, that demigod for that, some other else for some. For Krishna, once in a while I'll go. So they're all the same. No. The Prabhupada said, there is no need to go to another tree. If one is fixed in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is unlimited transcendental bliss. And as such, there is no need to ask for further benediction. They are going to ask for further benediction though. But that further benediction is in context to this verse. That we want the association of Vaishnavas so we can be very happily fixed in service. Suppose someone was given the service in the absence of Vaishnavas. Would that have any meaning? No. Now, in certain personalities' case, it seems to appear like that they may have been given a service without association. My mind is going to Srila Prabhupada, who was given the service of crossing the seven seas and coming to America, where there is no association of any Vaishnava. Not only is there no association of a Vaishnava, the whole environment is surcharged with voidism and impersonalism. It's not even a neutral environment. It's a dangerous environment. And no facilities provided. No place for residence. No contact information of anybody except one address in Butler, Pennsylvania, but he has landed in Boston Harbor. How to get from Boston to Butler, Pennsylvania? Like, who knows? He didn't have Google Maps. He didn't have any resources, no facilities, absolutely nothing given. Just an order. Please go. So it takes a very special person to have that kind of asset of Krishna consciousness, that this the service, the lotus feet, service at the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna is itself fully manifesting all facilities. Now we shouldn't try. We shouldn't try to aspire for a service where there are no devotees. It's dangerous. Unless it's an order by a guru, you must go to such a place. Then the first caution must be, there is no association. Because it was Srila Prabhupada, that the personality of that nature, he created his own association. He created a worldwide association of devotees. So if we ever have such a service, then our challenge is to create our own association. But we shouldn't be happy, devoid of association. Those pesky prabhus. Now I can freely do my service. That's an illusion. That's a trap. In fact, that's death very close by. Spiritual death very close by. Waiting to finish us. Association. So they're talking about Tvad angri moolam asadhya. And we know angri moolam means the lotus feet of Krishna, which our acharyas also explain. The lotus feet of Krishna, one of the meanings is the devotees. Because at the lotus feet of Krishna, it's a very busy place. Because there are a lot of devotees. Krishna's lotus feet are not empty or know, just by themselves. There are a lot of devotees. Todangri Moolam Asadhya. Asadhyam, having approached Sakshat Kim Kim Vrani Mahi. What else is there to aspire for? So in the context, because when Ananda Chaitanya Prabhu was here, what he did is he fast-forwarded and gave us like the pivotal message. Like he told us what these prayers are building up to. The prayers are building up to an earnest, desperate begging for the association of devotees in all circumstances. In the neophyte condition, we need association. In the Madhyama condition, we need association. In the Uttama Adhikari stage, we don't need association. True? No. We need association. Even the Uttama Adhikaris need association. It's not that they need association because they're going to fall down and other Uttama Adhikaris are going to hold them. It's because they're relishing. Only in the association of devotees can one relish Krishna's message. Can relish Krishna. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam shukamukadamurta davyasamitam pibata bhagavata rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka. So even the greatly transcendentalists, even the greatly liberated persons, even they relish in the association of each other, the messages and topics about Krishna. So association is always necessary. I'm anticipating some question on, we see some acharyas to Nirjana Bhajan. Nirjana Bhajan may be in physical form without association, but they never are devoid of association of other devotees. It is not that they completely remove devotees from their consciousness, no more association, all by myself, yippee. No, they're associated with the great sages, they're associated with the great devotees of Krishna, with the spiritual master and all the wonderful Vaishnavas. Their association is still there. Tvadangri Moolam Sakshat Kim Kim Vrini Mahe. From once we have attained service to Krishna, we don't aspire for anything else. So, if we are aspiring for something else, that's a flag that somewhere our application of ourselves in that service to Krishna is incomplete. Something is lacking. It's not the service that's lacking. It's not Krishna who's lacking. It is we who are lacking in that service. That's a good flag to check and readjust whatever is necessary in our heart to feel completely satisfied. So when one is fully satisfied like that, one is not busy looking at, oh, what is that Prabhu? How come he has that service? And how come I have this one? It's not like that. You know, it's a mango. It doesn't matter which part of mango or where in you bite the mango. It's sweet everywhere. It is not that it is sweet near the skin and bitter near the seed. It is not that it is sweet on the top and bitter at the bottom. It's sweet all, everywhere. So service to Krishna is service to Krishna. And Krishna's sweetness is available in whatever service we have. It is a matter for us to extract that sweetness. And that itself is more than sufficient without the need for anything extraneous, anything material, anything else is not necessary. So they're glorifying. They're glorifying the beauty of serving Krishna. They're glorifying the beauty and sweetness and the great privilege of having received some service to do for Krishna. There is nobody, either in this temple or on this planet, who is indispensable. There's nobody like that. Krishna can do without any one of us, without a problem. It's not like we are somehow holding the temple together. It's not like that. In fact, it's a joke. I don't mean to insult the devotees for their service. That's not the point. Please don't take it like that. I'm very, very grateful to every Vaishnava for whatever little service they're doing. That's not the point I'm making. It's not an insult. It's a message that it's a message to make our service sweeter. It is a message to make and appreciate someone else's service even more. That's the point. Individually, we should think like that. Not that I'm thinking like that of you. Individually, we should think that I'm completely, easily dispensable. Krishna can absolutely do without me. In fact, if something were to happen to, let's say me, any one of us, as we think individually about ourselves, in the whole thing that is happening in terms of service to Krishna, it will not even be a little blip on the radar screen. But no, Krishna is not going to miss us in that sense. I'm not talking the heart of Krishna. I'm talking in that great service. It's not like everything is going to come to a screeching halt because that particular devotee was not there to do some service. So if we have gotten some service, it's the greatest privilege. Greatest, greatest, greatest privilege that can ever exist in the entire material and spiritual world. And it would be really foolish to lose that privilege. It'd be a suicide. It'd be suicidal to belittle our or others' service. It'll be suicidal to think my service anyway. To look at it from such a casual perspective. In fact, our service must be held with the utmost respect, with the greatest veneration and sense of gratitude. Because Krishna can very easily give our service to someone else and tell us, see you on the Sunday feast. The Prachetas are speaking like that. This is so valuable. In fact, it is so satisfying that we don't want anything else. Why should we ask? Kim kim vrini mahi. Oh, what else is there to ask for? Nothing. We don't want anything else. We're feeling very privileged that we have some service for you. And in that privilege, to be able to honor that privilege every day, life after life, please give us the association of your devotees. Because in the association, we understand that privilege with each other. So, short thoughts and comments or something you would like to add, Prabhu?
There would be no necessity to go to another flower if I'm tasting the sweetness of the Parijata honey.
I forgot to tell the Parijata story.
And if I'm not tasting that honey, then I would feel the necessity to go to another flower.
Correct.
So then our service to Krishna is sweet like honey, but we might not be tasting that. And correct. Therefore hankering after this other service or wanting to go there. So what is blocking my tasting, the honey in the service that I'm having?
The jaundice of avidya. The jaundice of avidya, according to Rupa Goswami, takes over the liver, takes over the heart. Just as jaundice takes over the liver, the avidya takes over the heart. And in that avidya, the sweetest service tastes the most bitter. So people become bitter while serving Krishna because they are afflicted with avidya. That avidya, ignorance, has different aspects to it, but the main thing is that one is not seeing himself or herself as a servant of Krishna. Even a slight adjustment of the consciousness that I'm a servant of Krishna, that service becomes sweet. And a slight movement from I'm a servant of Krishna to something else, the sweet service becomes bitter. Somehow it has this very fascinating aspects to it. In fact, if one is sees oneself as a servant of Krishna, even the bitter service is sweet. There are many bitter services to do for Krishna. Because Krishna likes rasa, there's varieties. And even if the heart is not a little bit moved, if the heart is moved a little bit from servant position, then the sweetest service can be bitter. It's the avidya that's blocking. At that moment, in that situation, whoever is feeling bitterness can very easily ask themselves, who is feeling this bitterness? Is very sure it's not a servant of Krishna. It is someone else. Therefore, it's important to keep asking or to getting clarification from Guru and the Vaishnavas. Why am I feeling like that? Because the Guru's message is not about, like you were saying, so I'm going to build on that. The Guru's message is not this situation, that situation. Interestingly, every message of Guru is to put us back into our constitutional nature. You're a servant of Krishna. As a servant of Krishna. As a servant of Krishna. Because that's the only remedy for the bitterness. Chittopatapta. Upatapta is suffering. So he says, Kintu adarat anudinam. That's the trick. Anudinam means every day. Adarat means with great respect, with great veneration, with a very, very grateful heart. If one applies oneself, then one is cleared of that jaundice. So we cannot continue to operate on Navidya platform. The struggle for practicing devotees is to forget position as servant of Krishna. We forget it. So we want to have devotees, we should have devotees, so they will help us, they will remind us, Prabhu, please be a servant of Krishna. You're in Maya, Prabhu. Like who was saying the other day? You're in Maya, Bhima Prabhu. We may say like that or differently, but that's the idea. Is this, the devotees will help us come back to or develop our service attitude. So avidya is very treacherous. Avidya is what has kept us away from Krishna. And if not properly employed, if not properly serving Krishna, it's the same avidya that's going to take us away from Krishna, having come so far. That is called Naradhama stage. Like really fallen. Really fallen. There is the innocent fallen and the foolish fallen. Innocent fallen means, I didn't know to serve Krishna is important. So I'm wandering everywhere. And the foolish fallen is, even after knowing, you know, doesn't do anything about it. That's even worse. So I didn't narrate the story of Parijata. Okay, if someone else had a question, then if there's some time, I'd like to narrate the story of Parijata tree. Kirtita Mataji has a question, then... No, go ahead. Because throughout class, your face was really like either doubtful or... I don't know what it was, so better you ask the question.
No, just processing.
Okay.
I don't... Hopefully I can ask the question so it makes sense, because I don't know if it fully makes sense in my own mind, but... What about... Because... It's not always that it's hot or cold or black or white, that either we're fully relishing the nectar of our service or we're completely contemplating all of the time how we want some other flower. Because sometimes devotees can be relishing their service but not fully tasting it. So because they're not fully tasting it, there's also still the feeling of having the other flowers. So that maybe that can assist one in one's service. So I'm wondering.
Still the parijata tree.
Right, but what's the solution then?
So the overall message here is, as long as the service mood is there, one is connected to Krishna, and one is being guided, it's still okay. The lack of relish in service is because of what's called anishta bhakti, or because one is not on the platform of steadiness. So in unsteady state, taste is also unsteady, but taste is there. Taste is not there when one is not even in unsteady state. Like if there's a person who cannot get any taste from their service, then you know that it is good. It's not anartha issue. The issue is even more fundamental. It's the sadhu sangha is not proper. Because bhajana kriya only comes after sadhu sangha. If sadhu sangha is right, bhajana kriya is right. Then only anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti is not an automatic stage. Oh, few months, I've come to the temple, I chant one round, why my anarthas are not coming out? But only what is coming out is anarthas. There's no nivritti. It's anartha manifestation. Anarthas go away when sadhu sangha is proper, and when bhajana kriya is proper. So if one is not relishing taste in service, somewhere the sadhu sangha is not proper. You fix sadhu sangha, everything is tasteful. It is taste. There is taste. It's just that the sadhu sangha needs to be really tightened up. If we go back and ask ourselves, what is the place in my heart for my spiritual master? What is the place for the Vaishnavas who are doing so much for me? What place do they have in my heart right now? And that will tell us what taste we got or not got. You fix that, everything else is fixed. You fix inside, everything outside gets fixed. But sometimes we do a little band-aid solution. So I find some other flower and try to get some taste. I get some taste. But that's just, I'll be straightforward. That's just dancing around the main point and not wanting to look at the root cause of the problem. That's my answer. The root cause of problem is sadhu sangha. Or not proper sadhu sangha. Jitendra Prabhu, and then.
I was thinking about this devotee named Gur Das. He was talking to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said to him, "Do you like reading my books?" And he says, "Yes, Prabhupada, but I like reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books better." And Prabhupada said, "Why is that?" And he says, "Your books are somewhat repetitious." And I was thinking also that...
And what did Prabhupada say to him?
Well, he says, "Very good." You know, he was encouraging, you know, but... he says, "I like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books too." Prabhupada said that to him. As far as, and then I remember in the beginning, you know, Srila Prabhupada would say, "What do you want to do for Krishna? What do you like doing for Krishna?" And then as you advance more, you would be requested to do some service, which would be a sacrifice, you know, so that as a higher stage, you know, doing the, and Prabhupada would call it doing the needful. And then the devotee is, he's not so much... the service is not carried out so much with the senses, it's carried out with the mind. So it's the disposition of the heart. But if we're just instrumental, then whatever we're doing is, you know, we're actually beyond the the actual physical service, you know, it's the rasa that we're receiving from the service. Is that what you were trying to say?
Something like that.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Gokulananda Prabhu, Glenn, and then Goloka.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class and the topic. My question is regarding the expectations and conception we may have regarding association with devotees. If you can explain. Or
I'm not sure what you're trying to get at.
What should we expect from the association of devotees and what we shouldn't expect? For example, when we first come to Krishna consciousness, what we may be expecting from the association of devotees is just someone who can hear my problems, for example. Or we are just curious about different philosophical questions, etc. But later we start learning that there is something deeper in the association of devotees, or we may not, and then we get stuck in the association of devotees because we keep that level. It's only association like was in the material context, just some person, a friend, where I can tell my problems and then he will give me an advice, and just keeping the association like that, and we cannot go further to enter and relish the topic of Krishna consciousness and just be satisfied by discussing Krishna consciousness in association of devotees.
You answered the question then. What we Lord Kapila describes, that in the association of devotees, what should unfold is Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. Anukramishyati means unfolds progressively. So Shraddha means faith. So before we expect from other devotees, now that we are devotees and we've been devotees for some time, the greatest contribution we can make for another devotee is to enhance their faith in Guru and Krishna. Even if he cannot do anything else. Suppose someone comes to us for some advice and we have no idea of how to solve that problem. And most of the case we don't, because we're tiny. Our contribution is either we speak about our determination and our faith in Guru and Krishna and their potency to empower us, or remind other devotees that that's the principle. So when Shvetashvatara Upanishad verse, Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yatha Deve Tadha Gurau Tasyete Kathita Hi Artha Prakashante Mahatmana. This is what we should be doing, strengthening each other's faith in Guru and Krishna. Shraddha. That Shraddha will bring Rati, an actual feelings for each other. And that can be exhibited on the level of the body, meaning taking care of each other's needs, whatever that is, at different levels. But the main thing is that the Rati is spiritual. He is a devotee of Krishna. And Bhaktir, one has loving feelings fully manifesting for Krishna and the devotees. But that comes from building faith. And if you're not building each other's faith, then what are we doing? On the platform of faith, we exchange the 26 qualities. That's how we do it. We exchange with each other the Vaishnava qualities. Someone comes with something and we respond humbly or compassionate or merciful. Someone's made a mistake, merciful. However we exhibit that mercy, but that's what is happening. Then we're developing association. We're not just a society for patting each other on the back. Very nice, Prabhu. Prabhu, you're also very nice. Very good. Let's have some prasadam. We're developing each other's faith. Is that all right? Are you satisfied with that?
Class and for this discussion, you just answered my question as well, but okay. I did have one little story too that strikes
okay.
me, and it's Bernice and Mike Prajelski were friends of mine, and they were celebrating their sixth.
I only heard some. Say it again slowly.
Bernice and Mike, married couple, friends of mine, and they were celebrating their 62nd wedding anniversary, and it was obvious that they really cared very much about each other. And I asked Bernice about that, and she said, you know, we're just always trying to do things to show our love to one another. You know, she and Mike both had this service attitude toward one another, and it works in all kinds of relationships.
How sweet it would be if it were transcendental.
So true.
If it was for the sake of Krishna's pleasure,
so
it would be really so nice. Goloka Pravas.
Hare Krishna. It seems like sometimes the devotee association is like a conditional or a circumstantial. For example, like today, this service excites me, so I'll associate with devotee who is like more like working in that service or close.
Right.
Or like today I'm buddy with some devotee and yesterday he didn't say Hare Krishna, so I'll leave and like.
Correct.
So like how to avoid those things and be consistent like with the devotee association?
Well, questions such as these, how to be consistent is, there is no alternative to being Krishna conscious. The alternative to being Krishna, I mean, how does that happen? We have to go back and re-look at what does sadhu sangha really mean for me? Most of the time, if we operate like that, what were called fair weather devotees mean, or fence sitters. It's warm today, I'll be on this side of the fence. It's warm there today, I will go to that side of the fence. And if I don't like anyone, I'll put up a fence. And I will decide what kind of fence I will put up today. One day it's a picket fence, so at least you can see, I can see you. If it's a bad day, I'll put up a stone fence, like a whole wall that you cannot scale or even look on the other side. Plus barbed wire on the top, don't disturb me. We put up all these fences. That means we are operating from body and mind. There is no Krishna, there is no heart, there is no servant there, absent, out to lunch. So that's the problem. What did Bhaktisiddhanta say? The greatest malady of a conditioned living entity is to forget that he is a devotee of Krishna. This is the problem. So we are so consumed by our emotions and feelings that we forget. I'm a servant of Krishna. We forget. In fact, that's so foreign to us. I don't feel like a servant today. But we have not felt like a servant for eternity anyway. In fact, those are the moments. How can I be a servant of Krishna? However challenging it is for me, how can I be a servant of Krishna here? And we will only consider that if our sadhu sangha, the gift, if we are very paka about what our guru and the Vaishnavas have done for us to bring us here. If that's not serious, we're not serious about that, the consideration that I'm a servant of Krishna will not come into our consciousness. How much ever we can try, it will not come. Madhirna Krishna Parata Svatova. Prahlad Maharaj says, one cannot think of Krishna on his own. It's not possible. He cannot think of Krishna by the help of other friends, non-devotee friends, or by coming together as a conference and having a world conference on how to remember God. It will not work. Adanta Gobir, Vishatam Tamishram. They are in the deep, dense, dark well of enjoying their body and mind. Enjoying the mind doesn't only mean aspiring for wonderful sense gratification. You understand? Enjoying the mind means the dark things that the mind takes us into also. That's also sense gratification. Just in the mode of ignorance. And for such persons, Prahlad Maharaj says, Naisham api stavad urukramangrim sparshati. Unless they take a bath, an abhishek, using the lotus dust from the lotus feet of the devotees, they will not come out of it. So sadhu, the moment the sangha with the sadhu is loose, finished, then everything is all external. Hare Krishna. It's like going through the motions, as they say. Just no feelings in it. There's no reason for doing it. There's no purpose for doing it. It's just another habit. Mechanical, as they say. So, sadhu. First place. First thing to fix is sadhu. Sadhu sangha. And sadhus don't need to be fixed. So our sangha with the sadhu, that needs to be fixed. That's my understanding. Okay, I didn't get a chance to speak of the Parijata story. Anyway. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.